Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by ACAST and available to all audio platforms.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.
Now we have to fucking talk about racing.
We're going to watch a car race, Michael.
It's when nerds try and be cool.
I think you've done brilliantly. Good podcasting.
He is an absolutely petulant brat.
Dirty air.
Hi, I'm Josh Weller.
And I'm Alfie Brown.
And this
is Dirty Air.
Jenna.
Did you enjoy Jenna?
Jenna. I did. I did. Did I? I didn't, but I did. Moments I did, moments I didn't.
It was a nice early morning one for you.
Yes, that was it. I mean, some of it was too early, I will say.
There wasn't 4 too a.m. much. I found it quite hard to keep track of where everything was happening. And it didn't seem like there was too much rhyme or reason to it.
No.
Because you had like the sprint race and that was at 2:30 in the morning. And then the race was at 8 in the morning. And then qualies for the sprint was actually after the sprint by an hour. It was all so confusing.
Well, before we get into the Chinese Grand Prix, can we just very quickly talk about, I don't know if you've heard of, there's this musician, a singer-songwriter from America.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing quite well. And I kind of feel like we should give her a bit of a leg up. Her name's Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Taylor Swift released an album called The Tortured Poet Society.
Yeah.
Which is a group WhatsApp that all her ex-boyfriends had together that they called The Tortured Poet Society or something.
Ooh.
I know. So she's now called her album.
Shall I tell you something? That chances are Matt Healy named that.
Yeah.
You know?
So she's got a song on it, which allegedly is about Fernando Alonso.
Okay.
And the album came out on the end of last week, just before China, mm-hmm. right? And she allegedly, I did the math here, so Taylor Swift started dating, allegedly, Fernando Alonso in April last year, when you remember when you were at the Australian Grand Prix?
Mm.
That's when the rumours circulated.
Oh, yeah.
Right, and now the album's out. That's a very quick turnaround from dating someone to breaking up with them to writing a song about them to then recording the song about them and doing a world tour and then releasing the song about them. 12 months seems like it's not true to me.
But it could just, it doesn't have to be a relationship and a breakup. It could have just been like a stolen
glance.
A stolen evening.
Do you want to listen to the lyric that's thrown everyone into all the Swifties?
Act like I don't care what you did.
You did. I don't care. Here we go.
I'm an Aston Martin that you steered straight into the ditch.
That you steered straight into a ditch.
I will say the album has 31 songs on it, and based on the lyrics and rhyme scheme and meter there, she could have trimmed that down a bit, I think.
Why do people do that? Why has it got 31 songs?
Because
on
she's
it?
Having her brew. Because she's basically.
Choose 11. It's like what J.K. Rowling did with Harry Potter. Yeah, the seventh book's 900 pages. Fucking eat it.
No, but she's having her Bruce Springsteen sort of, you know, when he did loads those long albums. She's having that moment right now. She says, "I'm an Aston Martin that you drove straight into the ditch."
Mm.
I think one must think a lot of themselves to say that they're an Aston Martin.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I'm a Ford car.
Are you?
I'm a discontinued late 90s domestic automobile.
I think I'm one of those.
What are you?
I'm a Fiat 500 XL since I just put on a lot of weight recently.
Yeah, so fair
I used
enough.
To. She's also my height, and Alonso is not.
I know. It doesn't make sense, does it?
Just in a logistical sense, it feels quite hard to imagine.
Fernando Alonso and Taylor Swift bumping uglies.
Yeah, or just kissing. Like, you'd need a Yellow Pages.
You'd need a few Yellow Pages, wouldn't you?
Mm.
Actually, he could stand on the bonnet of an Aston Martin.
Yeah.
And then they'd be around, on his knees maybe, but then they'd be around the same height.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they?
Yeah.
I think, and then Fernando Alonso, he's posted an Instagram video of him listening to the song going like, shh, at the camera. Which to me says they never dated.
Because
you wouldn't do that if your ex wrote a song about you.
Mm. He's just enjoying a rumour.
Yeah, exactly.
And his PR person has gone, you have to get on this.
Yeah, his PR person's gone, okay, just to clarify, were you ever all up in that? Mm. And he went, no, I was not. I have been all up in many women. Alonso, we don't need to know that much, but Taylor Swift, no, never Taylor Swift. And I went, okay, great. Can you just pretend that you did?
He's got his contract. He's happy. He's basking in the glow of the global superstar copulation rumours.
Yeah. And you know what? He's probably porked a few pop stars as well in his time, I imagine.
Kylie,
Nicole Scherzinger, maybe.
What?
Yeah, because like he hated Lewis Hamilton so much that maybe when her and Lewis broke up, he was like, you know,
maybe.
Okay. Anyway, let's get into the Chinese Formula One. What was it? Lenovo. Rolex.
Yeah, but ThinkPad, wasn't it? That's ThinkPad. Lenovo. Yeah.
Okay, so let's very quickly go through the absurd number of things that happened over the course of this weekend. So we started with the sprint qualifying. Now, Q3 of sprint qualifying was some of the best F1 qualifying of the last couple of years, I thought.
Yeah, it was very exciting.
It was absolutely incredible. Cars were on fire, scorched earth.
What was that bit of scorch? What was that?
It was just like what had happened was... Charles Leclerc from the future had come back to warn current Charles Leclerc that his career was fucked.
Mm.
And it's your career, Charlie. Mm. We got to talk about your career. And so he appeared out of nowhere.
Okay.
And then current Charles Leclerc had to get, you know, the Rolex clock.
Yes.
That ticks. And when it ticks, the red light goes out and they get to do their formation lap.
Yes.
He had to tie a chain to that.
Yeah.
Back down to the...
The servers on top of the clock tower.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. And then a lightning bolt struck the Rolex clock and they managed to go back in time to stop Charles Leclerc signing for Sauber because he's essentially done a Seb Vettel. That's what the scorched earth was. That's why the grass is on fire.
But Seb Vettel without any of the world championships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That sounds really exciting.
It was really good, yeah.
Does he have any kind of romantic interaction with his own mother in this whole thing?
No, but you know who does?
Gasly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gasly from the future comes back and says, look, Gasly, from you end up sleeping with your mum and it's
and
awesome.
And he just goes,
it's awesome.
Oh, yeah, great.
Yeah, great. Q3 apps. I mean, the whole thing was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Lewis qualified in Q2, finished third. The sprint race was not that fun. You enjoyed the sprint race. I did not.
I liked the dueling Ferraris. I found the sprint race quite good fun. And...
apparently they got a right rollicking.
Well, fuck off. It's like it's a fun. It was nice to see. It was competitive. It was good. The sprint race, you know, I heard other people say that they didn't think the sprint race was great, and the race was actually all right. And I found it the other way around. But I keep on having false memories about the whole weekend. You know how this is not the most relatable thing in the world, listener. I apologize, but you know when you do two shows, you do two gigs in a night, and then you go, have I done that joke? Done that joke this set? Or did I do it already at the other set? That's why I don't like doing two sets in a night. It bugs me, confuses me. And I when you say, sprint qualies was great. Was it? Or was qualies great? Was the Urch
on? Which one were you watching?
Well, the Earth was on fire when?
Yeah.
And who came, who got pole?
Yeah.
Who get pole in the sprint qualies?
Max got pole in the qualies.
Right. And who won the sprint?
Max.
And who won the race?
Max.
Right.
But that's just assumed. As soon as Max overtook in the sprint race, I went, okay, I've emotionally tapped out of this. And then when they went, Lewis is back on the podium, I went, no, he's not. The sprint race doesn't count. The sprint race is, you know, at the end of sports day when all the kids who aren't good at sport get to do the egg and spoon race.
Yeah.
That's what the sprint race is. It doesn't count as, it's not an F1 race.
If it doesn't count, then why don't they let somebody else win it?
I know. But it was, you know, Lewis was good and then he absolutely just sucked in qualifying.
Well, they changed the car settings, didn't they? Because they thought...
He changed the car settings, didn't he?
Well, so did Russell. They both changed different things about the car. I mean, obviously, I don't know what they did.
P18.
But yeah, it wasn't great.
They said when he qualified for qualifying in P18, they went, that's the first time he's been out in Q1 since Jeddah in 2022. And I thought, that's not long enough ago.
No, in Q1 again.
Here he is. They're a midfield. Mercedes are a midfield team.
I know.
Also, during qualifying, Rosberg said about Sargent, he was on every line there except the ideal line. And Rosberg, you can tell, really dislikes Logan Sargent. He kept having these little digs at him throughout the weekend.
It is getting to a point of, like, it's going from funny to... Right, so what are we doing? you can't keep on doing this.
Okay, so my overarching question for you on this episode is, and we'll answer it at the end, should Nico Rosberg be a full-time Formula One commentator?
Okay.
Because I put it to the polls, and it was very heavily no in the polls. I think it was like 64% said no.
Really? I quite enjoyed him.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a question for the end of the podcast.
I think we should analyze it as we go.
Okay.
So let's do the grid walk review.
Okay.
Gridwalk review. How many celebrities who didn't even pay for tickets are going to give Martin Brundle a shitty time? Gridwalk review.
And we'll figure out if we thought it was a good gridwalk or and if Nico Rosberg should be employed full time to essentially kind of take Martin Brundle's place, because Brundle seems to have just stopped caring about F1.
He'll be back in Miami.
He's doing the short haul like flights.
No,
isn't
he's
he?
Just doing that. Who do I get to meet?
No, he's doing the ones where he goes, because
Brundle said, who's going to be in China? And they went, a fucking massive bloke.
No Martin Brundle, which instantly they lose 5 points for that.
Yeah.
We had Nico Rosberg and Ted Kravitz. We had Juan Pablo Montoya, who was very distracted.
I killed his father.
Who was very distracted by Yao Ming.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, which is really says a lot about Formula One, that you can have... 20 cars all going 200 miles an hour. You can have this live TV setup, the first race in China since the pandemic.
Yeah.
And it felt like everyone on the gridwalk was just distracted by a tall bloke.
But also,
how tall is he? Because everyone in Formula One is really small.
Okay, a tall bloke is like 6'4", isn't he?
Yeah, okay, fine.
A tall bloke is 6'4". This guy's 7'6". This guy's so tall. This guy's...
Is he 7'6"?
He's 7'6".
Yeah, but Nico Rosberg went up to Juan Pablo Montoya. He went, you know, you're one of my heroes. I love seeing you. You know, you're a great driver, huh? And, you know, what are your predictions for the race? And Juan literally went, you've seen the fucking size of that guy. Holy shit. Look at him.
Yeah, he was tall.
Yeah.
And also, Nico Rosberg's talking. He's not commanding the room, is he, Nico Rosberg?
I thought he was a great... We'll get to it, but I thought he did a very good job.
I'm taking points away from him for the gridwalk. I'm not having him as a gridwalker. He doesn't possess any of the rudimentary qualities that you need to possess to be a good gridwalk host.
Yeah, Nico Rosberg can't... he has this quality where I feel like he doesn't understand jokes.
Mm.
Like, he doesn't know, like, whenever anyone on in the Formula One studio, the new studio that they have on Sky Sports in, for the UK.
Yeah, for when it's too far away to be bothered.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different point, but it's interesting that everyone keeps saying Formula One is booming, but they seem to have stopped everyone at Sky Sports from going to the races.
Yeah.
Now they just get to watch from London, which doesn't scream financial boom to me.
Again, they'll all be in Miami.
Yeah,
when, like, you know, they've got, like, loads of American football players there, when they've got a couple of crap film stars, you know, there's somebody like
DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled will
Orlando
be there.
Bloom.
Like,
Will I Am. Shakira.
What's the guy who plays
Kardashian?
Like, Mila Kunis will be there.
Yeah.
Like, Justin Timberlake will be there.
Yeah. Yeah. The people who book the paddock passes they're all over 40, aren't they?
Yeah.
Anyway, Nico Rosberg seems like whenever the guys in the studio were trying to make a humorous point to him, he just stared at the camera.
Yeah, he doesn't understand any of
jokes.
It. No,
I realized this week because remember when that kid called him Barbie? One of the
Brittany.
Brittany, sorry, on the Sky Sports, which is gone now, the Sky F1 Juniors.
Yeah, that was a really, really short-lived experiment.
It didn't work, did it?
Well, I mean, whether it worked or not, they certainly seem to think it definitely didn't work.
Yes, and someone called Nico Brittany. He said to Nico, "Went, oh, they all called me Brittany. It was really horrible. Don't
it
you think
really
that's
hurt
mean?
My feelings?
What was my nickname?" And he pressured this kid into going. He's like, "What do you think my nickname was? What do you think it was?" And the kid went, "I don't know." And he went, "It was Brittany," which is a reference that a 12-year-old isn't going to get because Britney Spears' first single was in the '90s, right?
Kid's just going to go, "Who's Britney?
Who's Britney?
Dancing nutcase off Instagram?
Yeah, is that the person that my mum liked?"
Mm.
And then the kid went, "Well, anyway, see you later, Britney." Great gag.
Showing a real level of broadcasting comfort,
right?
It's not the cleverest thing in the world, but you're taking the information that's been given to you and using it back. You're creating familiarity and you're closing off the interaction with a reference to what it contained. That is good broadcasting.
Really good.
It's good broadcasting.
And Nico freaked out and he made this child apologize to him on the air.
Yeah.
One of the most insane bits of Formula One television. If it goes like this for me, it goes, Niki Lauda's fire. Mm-hmm. Grosjean's fire, and then this is the third most insane thing I've ever seen in Formula One, is Nico Rosberg shouting at a child on live TV. And then this year, whenever any of the commentators have said anything humorous to Nico, he just pauses, he sort of glitches, and he doesn't know how to respond. Like, someone's gone, "Nico, knock knock," and he's like, "On what?"
But when would he ever have learned how to what relationships has he developed over the course of his life?
Nico, an Englishman, an Irishman, and a Scotsman walk into a bar. Yeah, but I'm from Monaco. No. Okay.
Is he from, where's he from?
Finnish.
So he's of Scandinavian heritage, but grew up Monegasque.
Yeah.
Which is not the kind of place
where jokes are told. There's no comedy club in Monaco, is there?
Like, there's no kids on the streets, like, knocking a football against the wall going, "Ah, yeah," like, you know, taking the piss out of each other. There's no camaraderie in the, it's not a relaxed schooling environment that you have when you grow up in Monaco.
Yeah, he's never had the piss taken out of him, has he?
Well, not that he knows about.
Okay, all right.
I mean, obviously there's the Britney thing. And then he went, "Hang on, why are people being incredibly rude to me?"
Yeah.
I don't understand. They're Britney. I'm not Britney Spears. Why would you? I'm Nico. And the fact that you don't know that is incredibly upsetting to me.
No, but it's because you have long blonde hair.
I don't look, what?
No, you have a similar look. You look like a Barbie doll. That's
but,
the point.
But I am not her.
No, I know, but that's how jokes work, Nico.
I don't, no. No, 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 no.
Nico,
no.
Knock, knock.
I am busy.
Chinese national anthem, I felt sorry for those kids. I felt very sorry for those kids. Because they played the whole Chinese national anthem, which is a pretty good national anthem for the People's Republic of China, and they forgot to turn the microphones on. So there's like 30, 40 kids singing, and you can't hear any of them.
Yeah, that's really upsetting.
It really bummed me out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those parents will be so sad. And of course, each child will have a different set of parents. No siblings.
Oh yeah, they're not allowed, are they?
I think they are now, but okay. Yeah.
All right. Okay, we're going
to
take
now that there's nobody to look after the elderly in that country. We need to fuck more.
Okay, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back with a very in-depth race review for the Chinese Lenovo 2024. The first in almost half a decade in China.
China.
See you in a sec.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back to Dirty Air. Okay, I'm going to very quickly say, not a bad race weekend. Magnussen hit Tsunoda, Stroll hit Ricciardo. We had a VSC, we had two safety cars. We had Hamilton being a little pissy pants Hamilton again. We had Bot's car failure. We have midfield scuffles throughout. I thought on paper it was dull, but actually, when you actually analyze that race, I'm going to give this race a 6.9 out of 10.
I'd give it a flat 6.
Really?
Yeah.
I would describe this race as a...
Are you giving the race weekend a 6.9, or are you giving the race itself?
The race. Okay. The race, yeah, yeah. The race weekend gets a... There's too much going on, so the race weekend gets a 4.
Okay.
It's too complicated now.
It is too complicated.
Because Q3 of sprint qualies gets a 9.
Yeah.
But the sprint race gets a -7.
Okay. That's quite harsh.
But it was... I would describe this race as a... It felt like a sort of flavourless cake with a very lovely icing.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
It was decorated very nicely, but it didn't taste great.
Yeah, I understand what you mean by that, actually.
I thought that Nico Rosberg's commentary, absolutely fantastic.
Well, you're giving the game away quite early doors there, aren't you?
I thought he was great.
I thought he was great too.
He was scathing at points. He loved letting everyone know that he was an ex-Formula One driver.
But he was also impartial and insightful, and there were people who you wouldn't expect him to be encouraging of. Like, you... It's bizarre to hear him go, oh, it's great to see Hamilton driving like that again. Yeah. Is it? You hated it at the time.
And he also really argued with Crofty at points as well.
Mm.
If there's something he didn't agree with, he'd be like, okay, let me stop you there. The drivers aren't thinking that at this point. They're thinking this because I used to be one.
Yeah, and that's such good... That's such good information to have. Mm-hmm. And also a little bit of conflict in the commentator's box.
Oh, yeah.
It's just great. It's entertaining. And, you know, you've actually got people of a similar level competing, which is something that you don't have in the race.
Yeah. And the they said at the beginning of the race, there's not a lot of attrition, which is code for this could be a boring race, is what they said on lap 3. And Max Verstappen had a 3-second lead on lap 4, which is just, isn't that sort of triggering, isn't it, at this point?
Yeah.
Here we go again.
If I was at the FIA, mm-hmm. I would be offering Christian Horner and Helmut Marko and whoever else at Red Bull anything they wanted. Any favourable treatment, any, like, we'll let the penalties go, we'll give you, you know, you can break all the spending cap rules you want. Just find out who the second best driver on the grid is and employ him. Like, Albon's interview, did you hear Albon's interview? I'm not going to say which podcast because I don't want to give it the oxygen of publicity. But,
how very Christian Horner of you.
Yeah. But he was on there saying it's difficult to be Max's teammate because Max the car to be extra sensitive. He described it as like a mouse cursor or when you've got your gaming controls and you make them so sensitive that as soon as you press the joystick even slightly, the thing veers off to the side. He said Max likes the front end of his car so sensitive that he can feel everything, sort of air and scenery, whereas lesser drivers like the car less sensitive, more controlled, so that they don't have to be as accurate with their movements as they're maneuvering the car around the circuit. So find out who likes the car like Max. It's got to be a good fit like that. Find out who can extract a lot out of the Red Bull. Just our only chance for any competitive racing is if somebody who can drive a Red Bull car. Like, there's no excuse for Checo not to be finishing second every single race.
It's crazy, isn't it?
The fact that he can't extract, there's a Red Bull car that's so dominant that it just wins every single race, and Checo can't come second every single race, that Lando Norris can come second, albeit on a one-stop strategy that sort of gave them an advantage.
But I also find it incredibly boring when Checo's in the cool down room. It's sort of like, you know, like it's like when your teacher comes in, or like when your dad comes to the pub with you, you know?
Yeah.
He just brings this weird energy into a space where, like, I feel like Max and Lando can go on the Raz together, you know? And in fact, there's footage of them in nightclubs together.
Yeah.
Checo's not in those nightclubs. He's not invited to those nightclubs. He might be the number two driver, but he's not the number two friend, is he?
No.
He has this energy where you're like, okay, yeah, really good job, mate. Okay, I'll see you later. I've actually got to go and do a thing.
His face right always now. Looks like
I've got an Amazon package waiting for me at home, and I need to get back to feed the cat. So Checo, great. We'll see you at the race. Okay.
You know those pictures of meerkats that are just sort of, they're stood up on their hind legs and they're just looking for something. Like, oh, is that a predator? That's what Checo looks like. He looks like he's always on the lookout for
a predator,
an apex predator.
I mean, he is.
Well, there you go. That's,
I mean,
why he
can
like
see
that.
It's 13 seconds in front of him all the time.
I don't think it's very concerned with him.
Good weekend for Bert Mylander as well. Haven't seen Bert
Mylander
for a while, have we?
No, he did well. It was great to see him back.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Okay, let's go through the grid. In 10th place,
Kick Sauber.
Bottas qualifying 10th with a DNF.
Yeah. Engine failure. You don't see that too much anymore.
No. Weird, right?
The car just went, nope.
Yeah.
Not doing it, which is great. I think that car showed a lot more self-awareness than a lot of the other cars.
It was a good engine failure though, wasn't it? It just sort of trundled off.
And then I love it when they have to pull it off to the side.
Yeah.
Like they're parking up at Sainsbury's.
Yeah. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then he got out and you really realise how small they are when they get out the cars.
Mm.
And you see them stood next to it and you're like, hang on a minute, that car's massive.
Mm.
And your knees are below this. You're tiny.
Mm.
He looked very diddy.
Yeah.
And I mean, poor Zhou Guanyu. I mean, he was crying after the race. But he, you know, he really tried. And the Chinese audiences were just, they were so good. I loved how enthusiastic they were.
Yeah.
And loud.
And there was a real emotional, a real feeling of great emotion having that homecoming race for him.
Yeah, and he got his own little Parc Fermé afterwards, didn't they?
Yeah, sweet that they did that.
I know, but also quite depressing. Because, you know, they were like, let's give him a little, you know, he got his own egg and spoon race, didn't he, essentially?
Yeah, but I think he understands that it's for, you know, the crowd there want to celebrate him. He wants to be celebrated by the crowd.
That's true.
It's a kind of nice, it's a nice enough thing. There hadn't been a race there for years.
Mm.
There's not always a Chinese driver on the grid. Like, it just all worked out that they thought it's a nice thing to do. And obviously he'd prefer, what would have been cool is if he won the race.
Yeah.
And then they got, who should we stick there?
Yeah.
Let's just get, you know, Stroll in there for
fun.
If
Max had had a moment of where he had a conscience and he went, you know what, actually, I think Zhou would really...
This would really mean a lot to him. How far away are we from Max just handing out wins to people who he fancies?
As one serious head trauma. One serious head trauma, or like a Macaulay Culkin parental divorce.
Is Joss what?
You know, like Macaulay Culkin divorced his parents.
Oh, yeah.
So if Max ever divorces his daddy...
Yeah.
Then maybe we'd see that.
That's the one way to hurt Joss, is for Max to sacrifice himself for the benefit of others.
Oh my God.
And he will brutalize his father with his own acts of kindness to other people. And it'll be like water on the Wicked Witch of the West. And Joss will go, I'm melting. Each time Verstappen shows an act of altruism towards a fellow member of society, Joss, like, withers a little bit.
Yeah.
Like a character in a Thomas Hardy apocryphal tale.
Yeah, every time Max hugs his, like, stepdaughter, like, Joss just glitches, like the Fembots in Austin Powers.
Yeah.
But yeah, ninth place.
Alpine Macopine.
Promopine.
Let's just put them out.
Or Hey Now, Alpine it's over.
And it is. Ocon 13th to 11th and Gasly 15th to 13th. And weirdly, Ocon finishing 13th in the sprint race and Gasly finishing 15th. So they loved those numbers this race.
Gasly said, what an absolute idiot about Sargeant on lap 52 while they were fighting for P14. I've got nothing to say about Alpine. They're this year's Haas.
Yes. Eighth, Williams. I mean, we don't need to do it, do we? Albon 14th to 12th, Logan 20th to 17th, but 17th being 20th in the context of the cars that were still available. I mean, it last.
Did you like the panda helmet?
Logan last.
Did you like Albon's panda helmet? Had the eyes above the thing, so it looked like a panda was driving the car.
Yeah, it also looked like a panda was driving the car.
Based on the race results?
Based on the race results, yeah.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Really nothing to say. Sargeant really showing his ineptitude this weekend, I think. A lot of drivers getting pissed off at him, and even Nico Rosberg being like, that guy can't even find the racing line.
Yeah, it's just not a good look for the sport when somebody is below the level and is there. It just is really unhealthy for competition.
Do you think he's going to be in the car at the end of the year into next year?
He shouldn't be. Yeah. I mean, like, you can't be nice to people. You can't be doing people favours, and you can't be taking, like, I understand where the element of sport with Formula One and business intersect, but this is too much business and not enough sport. Do you know what I mean? Like, that you can't, but you can't be making decisions like this. Do you know what would be really great for Williams? They should just get, if they care so much about the business, they should just get
DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled to drive the car.
Yeah. Yo, what's up, DJ Khaled? Just as he goes round.
Yeah. Like, why not just go for, like, full fucks? Like, boxing's doing it. Let's just get Jake Paul in the car. Let's put Jake, Williams' team for next year is Jake Paul and KSI. And then, you know, Kick Sauber can get Chunks in and Big Zoo. And Alpine can have, you know, Will Smith and Tom Cruise. All of them can just have, like, you know, Red Bull can have PewDiePie.
Yeah, but is it not helping Alex Albon that Williams get to develop the car this year and next year ahead of the rec changes for 2026? And they can just they just get funneled this money from Sargeant, and then they're going to boot him out at the end of 2025.
Yeah, of course it helps Albon.
Yeah.
But it would help Albon even more if they got even more money by putting DJ Khaled in the seat. To explain to me why it's okay that they just get this guy in to give them money whilst he's not good enough to compete at Formula One. I understand that it's a heightened example. Obviously, I would imagine that Logan Sargeant, I would have to concede that he is a better race driver than DJ Khaled.
But not by much.
But also, if you look at how much more money DJ Khaled would bring into the Williams team.
Yeah. He would bring so much money in.
I didn't think I'd have a lot to say about Williams.
Who would you rather see in the Williams next year? DJ Khaled or Kimi Antonelli?
I think I want...
Okay, I'm going to give you Mick Schumacher back. Kimi Antonelli. I don't know why he's racing for Williams, but fine. Or DJ Khaled. Or Oliver Behrman. Bang for your buck. Spectator worthy.
You've not given me a Nick De Vries option.
Nick De Vries
then.
Yeah. You'd pick Nick De Vries.
I want to see Nick De Vries back, yeah.
He's never coming back.
I know.
He's never coming back.
I know, they threw water on him to get rid of him.
Yeah, he's
is that what you do to gremlins?
He's varnishing a boat on the beach, like at the end of Shawshank right now. That's what he's doing with his time. Seventh place.
Haas.
Oh yeah, Haas.
Hulk qualified 9th, finished 10th. Magnussen qualified 17th. finished 16th.
Yeah.
Hulk's quietly having a great season. And I don't mind talking about him.
Really?
Yeah, because we skipped Alpine.
We've skipped Alpine. Alpine are the new Haas.
Well, and Magnussen is the old Haas.
Yeah.
But I don't mind talking about Hulk because he's after the first season, he had a shit sprint, but after the first race in Bahrain, he's outperformed Magnussen every single race. He's been consistently in the points or just outside. He's having a great season. And I don't know what's going on. Why? They were always just kind of squidged together, weren't they, Magnussen and Hulk? And the Haas was Hulk, and it was Magnussen, and it was the Haas, and they were all just there, and they were indistinguishable from one another.
Mm-hmm.
But now Hulk's put himself ahead of Magnussen and is, you know, having a real, an Indian summer, I think they call it.
Yes. I wonder if he's having a bit of a Carlos Sainz thing, where he kind of knows it's over, so he's just gone hell for leather.
Well, that's not happening for Magnussen, is it?
No.
The inspiration that Hulk is getting from the impending closure of his career is not something that's happening for Magnussen.
Yeah, you'd think they'd both be driving well, actually.
Yeah.
One of them still...
Maybe it's a mentality thing.
Yeah, it's also... I also don't understand what Haas are doing. Like, they're not working towards... It's not like Audi are coming in for them. It's not like they've got loads of new funding coming in for 2026. They just sort of just seem to be continuously just never developing.
Yeah.
You know, they fired... They were right to fire... what's his name? Steiner.
Yeah.
You know, because look at they've improved since he left.
He's been saying that he wants to buy a new Formula One team.
How long till Gunter Steiner has a fitness tape? Like a Davina McCool.
I could see him going like Stanley Tucci.
Oh no!
I think he's going to teach us how to make orzo.
Oh god! In the ground. Okay, sixth place.
No, wait. But Magnussen, I just want to mention his duel with Stroll on lap 34, where they went round together. Two laps, just... I can't believe it! Stroll and Magnussen competing here in a completely inconsequential contest. Who cares? If one finishes ahead of the other, neither gets any more points than the other. It doesn't matter. Stop trying to be enthusiastic.
No, but you're not looking at the big picture. There's no racing going on at the front.
I know.
So this is what we've got. This is what we've got, Alfie. This is our bed, and we have to lie in it. We have to slumber in this midfield battling bed. Okay? Because we can't look at the front of the race. Because Max is just...
Okay, that's fine, but just don't fuck with me. Stop bullshitting. Stop telling me that... Like, stop doing acting. All of that. I tell you why none of them are going to the races anymore, any of these Sky pundits, is because they're all doing short acting courses at RADA to learn how to be convincingly enthusiastic about a lap 34 duel for 15th between Kevin Magnussen and Lance Fuckface Stroll. Are you telling me that you're genuinely excited about that? You've watched Formula One your entire life. It's your job. And here you are going, oh, it's lap 34. Fucking who cares? That's a short acting course at RADA, I guarantee you.
You screwed over Lewis Hamilton in the desert and you cut off your fingernail so you could go faster. And you're telling me that this battle for P17... Nico was like, oh, this is amazing to see. It's like, no. It's amazing to see something.
It's just amazing to watch two cars. I mean, fuck that. The RB Cash App team.
What an absolute chunk.
Oh, two.
What a turd floater of a weekend.
Double dunf.
Double.
Double dunf.
Double DNF. And Ricardo, right, I mean, furious with Lance Stroll.
Yeah, I'm furious with Lance Stroll.
I'm furious. I'm very angry with him. But Ricardo, you don't really see that from the sort of... The honey
what
badger.
Did he call himself? Like a fuck...
The honey badger.
No. What did Daniel Ricciardo say about Lance?
Oh, I mean, he was...
That like, guy's a fucking idiot or something
yeah,
like that.
In fairness to Daniel, Daniel's out there, I mean, not to quote R. Kelly, but he's like, I'm fighting for my life! You know, like, Daniel Rick's out there.
Danny won't be grateful for the comparison.
No, I'm not comparing. It's just a quote.
I know.
I'm fighting for my life! Danny's... he is fighting for his position in Formula One. He is this close to being shit canned.
I know.
For the people who aren't watching, I'm putting my fingers very close together to illustrate how close Danny Rick is.
Yeah,
to
being shit canned. Josh's so listener. Close. Josh's fingers are very
my
close two, together.
My thumb and my index finger are so close together right now.
You could hardly fit a pencil.
So close together. You couldn't fit two pieces of A4 paper between there.
Yeah.
And Stroll not fighting for anything.
No.
Not fighting for anything.
No, he doesn't have any fight in him because his... I mean, I'm becoming more and more... Lance is like Sergeant Plus.
Yeah.
And I'm growing some quite negative feelings about Lance Stroll again. I liked him for a long time yeah, because everybody hated him so much.
But he was performing very well this time last year as well.
Was he?
Yeah.
He never outperformed Alonso.
He did. He did once last year, yeah.
And he's done once this season as well.
Yeah.
But it's still not enough. The driving into the back of Daniel, and we can sort of combine these. I will just say in fifth place, Aston Martin, Alonso qualifying third, finishing seventh, Stroll qualifying 11th, finishing 15th. So we can combine Stroll shunting into Daniel here in this journey through the teams. Mm-hmm. That is a mistake when your job is driving. I drove back from Glasgow mm-hmm. yesterday.
And at any point did you
drive into the back of any other car? Because I wasn't watching where I was going.
No.
Are you fucking kidding me?
So I just want to check that you didn't drive into the back of anyone.
I didn't drive into the back of anyone.
And Lance Stroll is...
a professional.
And he...
operating at the pinnacle of motorsport as it exists in its professional capacity on planet Earth.
Because you could understand if you were doing 200 miles an hour and someone brake tests you, you would understand, oh my God, I wasn't expecting that. But when you're just in a train of cars...
And he had the temerity at the end of the race to go, well, I think it was just one of those things. It was not just one of those things, was it?
Let's listen to what he said.
Oh, do you have it?
Yeah, exactly that. It was just a Constantina effect in the hairpin, which was one of those.
So he said, let's just listen to it again one more time.
Yeah, exactly that. It was just a Constantina effect in the hairpin.
So, firstly, he says Constantina effect.
Mm. Well, that's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not a Constantina effect.
No.
You should learn the driving words.
I appreciate that, but words...
I was just accelerating really hard, and then he bake tested me.
If I got Constantina wrong,
yeah,
and words are my job, mm-hmm. then now that would be really bad. Words, he doesn't have to talk. He doesn't have to learn how to speak if he doesn't want to.
Fair.
All he has to do is drive.
Yeah.
But
he can't.
He did that into the back of another driver.
Okay, and then here's Danny's response.
I felt Lance underneath me, basically. So
he felt Lance underneath him.
He felt Lance.
I can think of no other circumstance in which anyone would feel Lance underneath them, and I feel no need to interrogate any fantasies about the idea of Lance being underneath anybody or...
underneath him?
Nope.
So do you think anyone else felt Lance underneath them? Let me ask you another question. Do you think anyone else got rear-ended by Lance that weekend? Do you think Lance shunted it into the back of anyone else this weekend when he wasn't really paying attention? Do you reckon he just like fucking absolutely just rutted it into someone from behind this weekend?
Alonso got the fastest lap.
Okay, right, fine. Start the music.
Alonso got... He stuck on his mediums at the end and got a fastest lap. Started the race very, very aggressively and then had to pit fairly early on. Mm. He doesn't know anything else. All he understands is violence.
What, Stroll or
Fernando
Alonso?
Fernando Alonso, yeah.
Fernando Alonso. Yeah, I mean, where did he finish?
Seventh. Not a great race for him, but at the same time...
I think if you're 44 years old and you fly to China and you finish seventh...
Fly where?
To China. Oh, sorry. China.
Yeah.
And you finish in seventh place mm-hmm. and then Taylor Swift releases a song about you. That's a pretty good weekend.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good weekend.
Yeah.
Stroll, however, DNF did not finish. I mean, he did finish. He finished Ricciardo's race.
And he finished 15th.
He also, did he?
Yeah.
I thought he DNF'd.
Dear listener, please excuse us. We need to check where Lance Stroll finished. And to do that, I will use the website Google to look it up and see that Lance Stroll finished 15th, 82.7 seconds behind the leader and winner, Maximum
Verstappen. He finished 82.7 seconds behind Max.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Logan Sargeant finished 95 seconds behind Max.
This is insane.
Logan Sargeant finished 8 seconds behind Magnussen, who finished in front of him.
Should Danny Ricciardo have been given the penalty? He's got a 3-place grid penalty for the next race because he overtook Hülkenberg during the safety car. But he thought Hülkenberg had overtaken him. So he thought he was claiming his place back. Lance Stroll got a penalty, time penalty, for shunting Ricciardo, meaning... going into the next race, Ricciardo will be at a disadvantage because he DNF'd, but Stroll, who served the penalty during the race, will not serve a penalty next race.
It's not fair. It's not good. It is a quirk of the rules and you just got to eat it.
I know, but
it's annoying.
I just think Stroll and Ricciardo need to fist fight.
That's what I'd like. I mean, maybe the way forward. Have you heard of chess boxing?
Yeah.
So like maybe we should do F1
where they play chess and then they fight.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's about how, like, being your most pragmatic and cool-headed, interspersed with your adrenaline surging, and can you, through the midst of your own adrenal heightened state, maintain the wherewithal to plan a chess
game.
Yeah,
but they can't play chess. So what they should do is they should go and go to a watch shop.
No, I'm saying they should F1 box. So they should do a drive lap and, then box.
Oh, I think they should go to like the wherever F1 drivers buy their timepieces.
Mm.
Right? That's when you know you're too rich, when you start calling a watch a timepiece.
Mm. Sorry, I'm just going to take a sip from my drinking piece.
Oh, wow. Fourth place, Mercedes.
Fourth place.
Little pissy pants Hamilton.
Qualifying 18th, finishing 9th, Russell.
I mean, that's a pretty good race.
Yeah.
Where did Russell finish?
6th.
Yeah. 8th to 6th is not as good as 18th to 9th.
I think it's better because he's qualified in a better position and finished in a better position.
Okay, fine. All right.
So I think it's much better.
Okay.
Hamilton started on softs. That didn't work. They changed up the car. That didn't work. He was languishing behind Piastri's broken McLaren.
Mm-hmm.
So a fucked up version of a car with the same engine. Oh, he couldn't get past it, could he? Did you see the Sebastian Vettel interview where he goes through, you know, who's the best driver and who's the most tactical driver and who's the most da-da-da-da-da? Anyway, the final question he gets asked is, who is going to be the next F1 world champion,
mm-hmm.
not called Max Verstappen?
Right. And he says, George Russell. Really?
Yeah. And he's, so Vettel is
but
smart.
You know, yeah. Yeah.
Vettel,
four-time.
Vettel knows Formula One.
Yes.
So Vettel must be taking into account, first of all, basically what I hear when Vettel says that is, oh, Max Verstappen's winning this year and next.
Yeah.
No question. Because there is no chance that Mercedes win in 2025.
No chance. They're a midfield team. I've written here the midfield team Mercedes.
Yeah, it's hard for us to get.
They're a midfield team.
When was the last time that for? I suppose McLaren. When did people get used to? When was the McLaren drop off?
Yeah, McLarens and Williams are the two biggest, and obviously Ferrari. But I mean,
Ferrari have never been a midfield team.
No,
they've been a shit, like high end team.
Yeah.
But I don't think they've ever been consistently
McLaren
as bad.
McLaren 2018, when Alonso was just losing his rag, like during the races.
Yeah.
And Williams, basically for the last decade.
Well, when was Williams' last world championship?
90s.
So their drop-off would have come in the late 90s.
Yeah.
So they were having their Mercedes Now moment then. And they probably just, being an independent team owned by, you know, some bloke, became harder and harder a thing to be. Because you had investment coming in from huge companies and conglomerates like Red Bull, which meant that financially being Williams wasn't a viable at the top end of the grid anymore.
Mm.
And for McLaren, well, I just don't know about that. But their last world championship would have been, and Hamilton's first world championship.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're a midfield team now.
Yeah.
And the sooner we accept that, the sooner, you know, Daddy's not coming back.
Yeah.
And the sooner that we throw all his stuff away. We'll be able to move on, and you can make use of the bookshelf space.
I would like Toto Wolff to examine in public with us, maybe what can be done.
Yes.
And what is being done to...
If he says we need to understand the car one more time, I'm going to fly to whichever race he's decided he's going to next and punch him in the nose.
With maybe some ham.
Because Toto, shut up.
Yeah.
We need to understand the car. No, no, you don't. You need to have a good car.
Yeah. You've got to understand the car to have a good car.
I understand your car, Toto.
I understand the car.
It's crap.
Yeah. In third?
McLaren.
Oscar Piastri qualifying in 5th, finishing 8th.
Yeah.
Lando. Qualifying 4th, finishing 2nd. What a race for Lando.
Yeah.
What a driver.
What a weekend. And a sprint pole as well.
He absolutely
cacked the bed when Lewis overtook him during the sprint race.
Mm.
And he will never make that mistake again. Mm. And it was interesting to see the wily old fox that is Lewis Hamilton.
I call him a wily old campaigner.
That's a very, I call him a midfield driver.
Mm.
But for him to overtake Lando like that, round that corner, and for him to go, okay, buddy, you might have the faster car, but let me just show you one little thing before I go back to... It was a little bit like when your granddad's asleep all of Christmas Day and then they wake up and say one really astute, funny thing. And then pass back out.
Yeah. Like the way the bit at the end of Coco where she remembers
the song. Yeah, exactly.
Remember me.
Overtaking round the outside of turn three. Norris will never make that mistake again.
No.
He absolutely... It was really interesting seeing him become a child on that corner. He went, oh no! And he just bungled it.
Yeah.
And then he just shat all over Lewis during the race. So,
can I get a one stop?
Yeah. I will say this, the strategy for this race was very undecided. I would like us to not go to more places for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And then have to go back and only have one FP.
I think that's, if we're going to have this many races, let's have like, we'll go to China 1 year.
China.
And then we'll go to, you know, somewhere else another year. Go to Taiwan another year.
Yeah.
By then it'll be called China.
South Africa.
Yeah. I just wrote, keep it on a rotor. Keep everybody guessing. I like Las Vegas. Yeah. Bosh it out 1 year, but then never go. Don't go back for a decade.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
That's a great idea.
Because Las Vegas was a surprisingly good race, wasn't it?
Yeah. But the thing is all the things that made it fun, they're going to have worked out.
I know. So that's what I mean. So get rid of them being able to work it out.
Yeah. That's really good. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind a London race.
F1 surprise. That's what it should be called.
Yeah.
Like a bonus card.
Yeah.
Bonus ball in the lottery.
Yeah, and everybody goes and like hostages, all the drivers wear blindfolds and get led onto a private jet at gunpoint. And then they have to, I don't know.
It's Bernie Eccleston.
Yeah. Okay, it's Bernie Eccleston's gun.
Yeah, and they pull out a bonus ball and we will be racing in.
Mm.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, North Norfolk.
That's a good idea.
The Chroma Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Okay, second place, Ferrari. They fought each other and then they didn't.
They had fun in the sprint race. Leclerc fourth in the sprint, Sainz fifth. Sainz qualifying seventh for the main race and finishing fifth. Leclerc seventh and fourth. They were pretty well matched the whole of the weekend. Carlos Sainz, it does bear mentioning, crashed in qualifying. And then they managed to fix the car. He managed to fix himself and he qualified like mini seconds behind Leclerc, which I found all very impressive from a technological getting the car back together point of view, from a Carlos Sainz's mentality getting himself together point of view. I love Carlos Sainz and I'm excited about Ferrari's... we've said it before, but if... What happens between the Ferrari drivers, their competition with McLaren, it is exciting. And I just wish it meant a bit more. But
yeah, and they were very sneaky. Like they did it. Like, remember last year when Red Bull bought Sergio Perez back out?
Mm.
And they went, okay, mate, go get in an ice bath and just fuck off. And you're worthless. Actually, can you come back and just hold up the pack for us, please?
Yeah.
Ferrari had a little sneaky moment this week, didn't they, where Carlos technically crashed. But because the engine didn't turn off, he didn't get penalised.
Mm, fair enough.
Yeah,
whatever.
This is what Formula One's for.
Yeah. McLaren, sorry, just go back to them. Are they bringing upgrades to the next race?
Really?
To Miami? Which, you know, given that they just finished second, means that they'll still finish maximum second.
Who'd you rather wins a race this year? Lando or George Russell?
I want George Russell to win a race more, but it just won't happen. Asked about it.
First place, Red Bull, Christian Horner's Red Bull, as they're called now.
Max finished the sprint race in first, qualified first, finished the race in first. Checo 3-2-3. Again, I mean, I'd go back to Max is, you know, an avant-garde driving
14
genius.
Second gap.
And it's a lot of people say, and I think we've just got to celebrate it. We've just got to celebrate how good he is. We don't have to do anything. Okay? You can't tell me how to watch Formula One. And the thing is that all of the great sports people in history had an opposing number. They were up against something. Mm-hmm. Magic Johnson had Larry Bird. Mm-hmm. Manchester United had Arsenal. Manchester City had Liverpool. Roger Federer had Rafael Nadal. Mm.
Lewis had Seb. Lewis had Nico. Lewis had Alonso.
Alonso. And they all had each other. Max has nothing. And he needs, and I think he'd almost in a sense prefer, maybe not right now, but certainly as he looks back on his career, he'll think, I think what I was missing was somebody. As Niki Lauda says to James Hunt, in that film, which is called
Thrush.
Thank you. It, like, Niki Lauda comes up to him at the end and says, we need each other.
Yeah.
We drive each other forward.
I want to see racing.
We want to move. We need to move.
You kick my ass. You were just as responsible for getting me back in the car.
Yes. It's very good.
Thanks.
It's very good. I don't want you to think I'm just glossing over how good that was. It was very, very good. But they need each other. He needs somebody. He needs
a challenge. But he keeps saying he doesn't like, he said, oh no, I just like winning. I like dominating. I like going off and racing.
Yeah, but as he reflects on it, he thinks he likes that now, but he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
As he reflects upon his career, he will think, I wish there was a bit more cut and thrust. I wish that it elevates the quality and the sensation of a victory
okay.
if it's been hard earned.
I completely agree, but I miss watching Max Verstappen panic. I miss watching that, fuck you, this is the way I'm going. It's really easy to race cleanly and perfectly when you're 15 seconds, 40 seconds absolutely. Ahead of the pack.
Do you remember what I used to call Max's overtakes? A fuck you move. Yeah.
Move. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
And it bums me out that there's no, like you say, there's no second. Surely Checo, I mean, Lando, no one can even get near to try and challenge him.
Yeah.
And it makes it boring for us.
Mm.
It makes me not want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch the sprint race.
Well, we don't have to do that for
a
long time.
Two questions left for you.
Go on.
Okay, so Nico Rosberg said, when he crosses the line, Nico, I want us to go up. There's not, what can you say to a world champion, huh? What do you say, huh? And then Crofty went, why don't you ask him what his favorite cheese is? And then Nico didn't do it. So my penultimate question to you is, what is Max Verstappen's favorite cheese?
Mm-hmm. He likes fondue. That's his favorite way to eat cheese.
Oh, that's really funny. Yeah. What's he putting? But I think he has marshmallows and M&Ms. Because no one's taught him how to eat. I thought it might be a cheese string.
Yeah. No. Well, if it was anything like that, it would be Dunkers.
Oh, not Baby Bell.
Not Baby Bell. It would be Dairy Lee Dunkers.
Interesting.
That's his favorite processed cheese.
I think his favorite cheese is a giant Baby Bell. You know, like one of the big ones.
Just a bell.
Yeah, a daddy bell.
Yeah.
And my final question to you is, Nico Rosberg, should he stay or should he go?
Stay.
Yeah, I agree.
He improves the quality of the broadcast.
I thought we got so many DMs from people saying that they hated him, but at least they were DMing us.
Yeah, yeah. They hate him, but at least you felt something.
Yeah.
And when was the last time you could say that about Formula One?
That's very true. Yeah. Look, he's worth his weight in what's the thing called when your eyebrows get, where they put the string on your eyebrows?
He's worth his weight in eyebrow threading.
Yes, eyebrow threading.
He's worth his weight in Botox.
Yes. Look, I'm pro Rosberg.
He's worth his weight in chemical peel skin treatments.
I think Sky, if you're listening, offer Nico Rosberg. And he doesn't want a full-time, he doesn't need loads of money.
Oh, he's doing it for the love of the game.
Yeah, he's just happy for the attention. And did you see him slagging off Leclerc's ice cream?
No.
He went, Leclerc's got an ice cream brand. And he went, yeah, but Leclerc's launched a whole brand. I've just got a shop. And he went, are you going to sell Leclerc's ice cream? And Nico just went, no, mine's way better than his. And I think I believe him.
Do you know what?
It's a full fat ice cream.
One day we should go to
Ibiza.
Nico Rosberg's ice cream shop.
In Ibiza.
Is it in Ibiza?
Yeah, it's in Ibiza.
Okay. Yeah, I just assumed it would have been in Monaco.
No, it's in Ibiza. But listen. We got some time before the next race. When's the next race?
The next race is the weekend after next.
So we should go to Ibiza this weekend.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I think my family will be fine with that.
Predictions for the next race. Where's Lance Stroll going to finish?
12th.
I'm going to go with the DNF.
But you can't.
I think his season's done. I think he's done.
I'm interested to know what happened. The narrative of Aston Martin. They've got Honda in. Honda has said it wants to be a world championship engine manufacturer, and they are going to have to make a decision for Christ at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Does Daddy think that his little boy is a world championship quality driver? And does he want to win a world championship and have the best team that he can more than he wants to be loyal to his son?
Yeah.
And that conflict is going to really make up for the fact that we're going to see endless Max Verstappen wins till we die.
Yeah. I feel like the irony of, remember on Drive to Survive when Lawrence Stroll went,
my first thought when my boy fell off his bicycle was, as a father, my son, my boy, that's my boy. Your first thought.
The irony strikes me is that probably in 2 or 3 years' time, he's going to be buying Lance Stroll a lot of bicycles and letting him open them on the top of mountains and going, why don't you just, hey, buddy, why don't you cycle down? Yeah, we'll sign the contract when you get to the bottom. Yeah, we're keeping you at Aston Martin 100%. Get Kimi Antonelli on the phone. It's going to be fascinating to see how they kick Lance Stroll out of Aston Martin.
Because they do need to, don't they?
Yeah.
He is not as good as a driver as that team is. As that car is.
Daddy's going to have to make a big decision, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's going to have to do a big poo-poo at some point.
I think he might, maybe he ends up saying to Williams, I'll give you Lance the same money that Sargent gives you to take my son and give him a seat so that I can get somebody better than my son who's less sort of gormless and sneery about his embarrassing mistakes.
Cancer, tatina, tatina. I'm Josh Weller.
And I'm Alfie Brown.
And this
was Dirty Air.
Lance Stroll driving his car into the back of Daniel Ricciardo. Lance Stroll, his daddy owns a team and he's never gonna finish on the front row. Lance Stroll, watch him roll, watch him stride all the way to P12. Lance Stroll, he can't drive the car for shit. Lance.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.